Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our and listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist.harrodsburg.com. You'll have all these radio programs there that are MP3 files. You also have Bible videos there on a number of topics, and we also have a lot of other Bible-related material that will help you and aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look, and we hope that you'll benefit from it, and also there's contact information there, how to get a hold of us if you want classes, you want free Bible correspondence courses, you want to have a private Bible study, or you have any spiritual question. Please do not hesitate to call upon us. And, of course, it will give you our times of services there. We always cordially invite you to any or all of these services. Along that line, we're going to deviate today just a little from our regular discussion. We're in 1 Peter, and we'll continue that next Lord's Day. But today begins a very special study and series of lessons that we are going to have at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. And it is our fall gospel meeting. It begins today at our 10:20 worship period, and again at 6:30 tonight, and then runs Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. every night and every evening. Our special speaker this week will be Brother Phil Arnold. Brother Arnold preaches for the Church of Christ at Expressway in Louisville, Kentucky, and he is known in this area. He went to school not very far from here, and he is familiar with this area, and we've asked him to come and be with us for this special week of study of sharing and discussing God's Word with you. I thought it might be appropriate today to explain to you what a gospel meeting is and what you can expect when you come to our services. A gospel meeting is simply an opportunity to come and worship and study God's Word. It's an opportunity to hear the gospel preached, and preached on a variety of subjects. There'll be a different topic every evening, and we encourage you to come and be with us. We don't take any love offerings up. Many of the congregations in the area, or religions in the area, I should say, they have these special, what they might call a revival, or a series of special meetings, and they'll take a love offering up every night. I want you to know that we do not do that here at the Lord's Church, and we don't do it not because it's our custom or it's our tradition. We don't do it because it's not authorized. The funding of the Lord's work is to be done by His people. It is to be done by free will offering, and that offering is taken up on the Lord's Day. We have example and command in the New Testament to give of our means as God has prospered us. As we read in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, we are to give bountifully and not sparingly, and we are to give with a cheerful heart, and we are to give without grudgingly. And we do it as we planned and purposed in our heart, as we've been prospered by God. And we can read that in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. We're not asking you to come with us this week in order that we might gain some money from you. Keep your money. Don't bring it with you. We do not want it. We just want you to bring two things, an open Bible and an open mind, just to examine and study God's Word with us. And we encourage you to do that. And we also encourage you that if you have questions, you'll have an opportunity at the end of services to ask Brother Arnold. You'll have an opportunity to ask me or any of the members of the church here if you want some clarification, if you don't understand what's being said or what's being done, or it's kind of foreign to you. It's amazing to me, many people that come into our services come with many preconceived ideals. Oh, we know you. You're the ones that don't have any instruments. You're the ones that hate music. Well, that's just incorrect. No, we don't have instruments. But we don't have instruments not because we hate them and not because we're too cheap to buy them. We don't have them because they're not authorized. We're told to sing. There are 9 passages in the New Testament that tell us what type of music that God authorized in His church. And that music is singing. Now, I'll just give you a couple that you could look at. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and also 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. And there are others, but those will suffice to show you the reason that we sing is not because it's our tradition, not because that's what we prefer. We do that because that's what God commands in worship to Him, and we're trying to follow His pattern. Another thing that you will see that when you come to our services is that we pray. We pray to God. We pray to the Father through the Son. And we pray and ask Him for things. We thank Him for things. We praise His name. And we do that on a regular basis. Why? Because that's one of the acts of worship. And so another thing that you will not see here that we want to tell you is that we're not going to offer the Lord's Supper. We're not going to do that any time Monday through Friday. Why? Because that's not an authorized time. The authorized memorial service is on the Lord's Day. In Acts 20, verse 7, we have an apostolic example that we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We don't have a special communion Sunday. We don't do it once a quarter. We don't do it every other month. Or we don't do it twice a year. We do it every Lord's Day because that's the example that we find in the scripture in Acts 20, verse 7. And so we're not going to offer it during the week because it's not on Sunday. Now, if you worship with us on Sunday, we will offer the Lord's Supper on that day because that's the authorized day to have it. And also we give on that day because that's the day that we're authorized to do that. But again, that's a responsibility of God's people. That's a responsibility of His children. And we're not begging and we're not petitioning for money from the community or from our visitors. That's one of the reasons that we don't have bake sales and garage sales and yard sales and rummage sales and car washes and other things that people have in the area to raise money. It's not because we couldn't use it. It's not because we could not use it to help further God's the gospel of Christ, but it's not authorized. It's not something. We're getting close here in a few months to have the holiday season, and some of the churches in the area will have bazaars, and they'll sell things for the holidays. Where's the authority in the Bible for that? Where's the scripture for that? Where's the book, chapter, and verse that authorizes us to raise money in any other way other than free will offering? That's all we're saying. We're saying that we're trying to follow God's pattern, and we're trying to do it His way. Why? Because we're worshiping Him. Why? Because we're honoring Him. Why? Because we're trying to glorify Him. And therefore, we're going to try to follow the pattern that He gave in the New Testament in order to make our worship pattern and mirrored after His desire, after what He wanted, and not after what men want. The other thing that you're going to hear all week is you're going to hear gospel preaching. What is gospel preaching? Gospel preaching is preaching the book. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the scripture says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In James chapter 1 and in verse number 25, James chapter 1 and verse 25, the book of James, it says in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And we're told in passages like 2 Timothy chapter 4 that we are to preach the word in season and out of season. What does that mean? That means we preach it when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. When you come and participate and you would attend one of the nights of this meeting, you're going to hear the gospel. You're not going to hear any philosophy of men. Brother Arnold here is not going to teach his philosophy. He's not going to teach his theology, and he's not going to teach his flavor. He's going to give you a book, a chapter, and verse for every conclusion he draws. Why? Because we're here to teach God's word. We're not here to teach what we think. We're not here to teach what men want to hear. We're here to teach the gospel because it's the gospel that saves. I want to read another passage for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, wrote, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you be believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We're going to preach the gospel. Why? Because the gospel saves. It is God's power to save mankind. It is the gospel that teaches us about the things that God would have us to do, the ways that we can please him, the way that we can honor him, the way that will be most sufficient in leading people to the cross. Our desire is to help men save themselves from sin, to understand that sin is the enemy. Sin separates a man from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. And sin must be exposed. Sin must be repented of. It has to be confessed. It has to be turned away from. And one has to render obedience to the gospel in order to have their sins remitted by the blood of Christ. And God's word is very plain in how that's done. If you read in the book of Acts, there are 9 different conversions. In those 9 conversions, if you read them and if you studied them, and just recently I have done a series of lessons on those 9 conversions in showing what they did and why they did it and how that answers the question for us, what must I do to be saved? Let me tell you in a very clear, concise way. You must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. But faith is not enough. Many of the religions in the area teach that faith alone will save. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says faith without faith is impossible to please God, but it is not the only factor that brings salvation to man. He must repent of his sin. At the time of ignorance, God once winked at, but he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. We must repent. We must turn away from sin, and we must acknowledge that sin. And then we have to confess that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch, after one sermon from Isaiah 53, said, here is water, what they send to me, 3 baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he makes a good confession in Acts 8:37 that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That is the same confession that Paul wrote about in Romans 10:9-10 that's made into salvation. And then the most controversial part of the plan of salvation is the last step, baptism. Yet if you would care to study all 9 conversions, they all end at the water. Why? Because it is at the water that we contact the blood of Christ. Romans 6:1-7. Colossians 2:11-13. Galatians 3:26-27, and also 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism is a culmination of receiving the blood of Christ, that when we arise out of the water, we walk in newness of life. Ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to come and be with us to hear the gospel preached with an open mind and open Bible. Questions are welcome. We'll be more than sit down and give you a Bible explanation of what we believe and why we believe it and why we believe that God wants you to believe it. And so we encourage you to come and be with us this week and be enlightened and be enriched and be edified by the preaching of the gospel. Brother Arnold will come prepared to do that. We hope you'll take this opportunity of this special invitation to come and be with us this week to hear the saving, unadulterated simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come and be with us. Thank you. Have a blessed Lord.